Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Ion Veterans ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome back to CBS Ion Veterans. I'm Navy vet Phil Briggs. I just want to take a real quick minute to invite you to join me in person later this month at the University of Maryland Global Campus MilVetNet event, a no-cost networking event highlighting national, regional, and local military and veteran support services. Now, if you're in the Maryland, DC, or Virginia area, this event is worth checking out. I'm looking at some of the great attendees, and these are groups that could very easily introduce you to your next career opportunity or help you get the assistance you're looking for. Right now, some of the hottest jobs for military veterans and cleared military professionals are in the tech sector, and there's a senior recruiter at this event from Intelligent Waves that has some incredible opportunities for you, as well as others like CACI International. You can find career opportunities with Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, Secret Service, Department of the Navy, Department of the Coast Guard, Homeland Security, and law enforcement jobs in Maryland and with the Federal Protective Services, or jobs working in Maryland Parks and Rec, National Capital Parks East, and representatives from careers in tech and disaster recovery like FEMA and the veteran-founded Team Rubicon. Veteran service organizations like Disabled American Veterans and VA Vet Centers will be there to help you get the benefits you've earned. The University of Maryland Global Campus MilVetNet event is Tuesday, April 23rd from 4 to 7 p.m. at the College Park Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Adelphi, Maryland. And during this incredible networking event, I'll get a chance to share with you some stories I've learned over the years from some of the most inspiring veterans. The UMGC MilVetNet event, Tuesday, April 23rd. And to find out more details, I just Googled UMGC MilVetNet. Mark your calendars, and I'll look forward to seeing you there. And now let's dive in to this week's episode of CBS Eye on Veterans. This is CBS Eye on Veterans. I'm Navy vet and journalist Phil Briggs with ConnectingVets.com, the military news and veteran lifestyle website. Now today we're going to hear about a veteran support organization that is hoping to build a village of tiny homes next to a church in Warrenton, Virginia. And although it may not sound like a hot topic, this project sparked a heated not-in-my-backyard debate among local residents, and local government zoning laws also create immense challenges to building beautiful, affordable housing for elderly, low-income veterans. The organization fighting to create these homes is Heroes Bridge. And not only is their mission to assist veterans every day of the year, but they're also based near the project site in Warrenton, Virginia. So here to shed some light on this ongoing situation is Heroes Bridge founder Molly Brooks, a veteran spouse, daughter of a Marine Corps and Vietnam War veteran, and a registered nurse with over 23 years of experience with specialty certifications in gerontology, hospice, and palliative care. Also joining us is Heroes Bridge board member Sean Haggerty, a retired Coast Guard chief warrant officer, and he leads the organization's Field Battle Buddy program, where he works directly with veterans, getting them to and from appointments and helping solve their challenges with the VA. Good morning and welcome, Molly.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Ed Chief, good to see you. Sean Haggerty, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Phil. Thank you for having us.
Indeed. I'll leave it to either one of you to go first, but let's real quick just talk about the situation at hand.
Yeah, sure. So you're right. We have served veterans for about 8 years. We focus exclusively on the older veterans, so pretty much Vietnam, Korea, World War II veterans, and those that kind of served in between periods. And our number two issue that we receive calls about daily are housing issues, whether it's substandard housing, unaffordable housing, homeless older veterans, which I think any veteran that's homeless is heartbreaking. But when you think about our like Vietnam and Korea era, it's just extra heartbreaking to think that they would be on the street. So we decided 3 or 4 years ago to start looking at kind of this micro housing movement. There are some great models around the country where people are using smaller footprint homes to serve populations that need better housing. We did that, and we, you know, it was a lot of planning, a lot of socializing the concept around the county and around our area. And we came across a beautiful grass-covered lot in the middle of the town that we are headquartered in, owned by a Methodist church that had owned the lot for about 50 years. And it's funny, nobody paid a bit of attention to this kind of boring grass-covered. The trees are a little like overgrown. It has some drainage issues, and it's about 3 or 4 acres, and I don't think people even noticed it until we decided to try to do something meaningful there. And you're right, it spun up quite a bit of opposition last fall. And just turn it over to Sean, because he, you know, he's out there in the trenches with our older veterans and seeing firsthand, even more so than I, some of the issues that we're running into, these heartbreaking that I think, and we're like the 18th wealthiest county in the country. We're on the Virginia side of Washington, D.C. I think people would be really surprised to see what Sean sees when he goes out and works with our veterans.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
We see many issues with the veterans. It's not only just the housing issue as far as the, sometimes I can get a veteran into an apartment or into a housing, but it's two or three stories high, and they use a walker. There's no elevators, and they just can't get up to the apartment. So they may be able to find one we can afford, but it's not meeting their need. So it's a balance of finding affordable housing and affordable housing that meets the need of a 75-year-old veteran that uses a walker, a cane, or a wheelchair. And it's almost impossible at this point. I probably have 5 veterans right now that I'm actively searching for a place to live that I cannot. So they're either in temporary housing, they're in flux right now, and their uncertainty that adds a level of stress to their life that at this point they shouldn't be dealing with.
Mm. And I think we are actually witnessing now with this story kind of break into two different problem sets, right? The first, as you'd mentioned, Molly, beautiful little grass area. No one ever noticed until somebody wants to build something on it. You know, people drive by it every day and ignore it, but now you guys want to put a veterans village there, so to speak. And then we're talking about the residents' reaction to, as Sean had noted, the kind of veterans. As Sean describes them, they definitely did not sound like it was a problem. I mean, they don't sound like they're problem people. This doesn't sound like they're escaped prisoners or they're people that are nefarious and could harm the neighborhood. It sounds like the people that God just wants us to help, right? Folks that really need a hand. Let's talk about, Molly, the first issue with the city. Zoning becomes a problem when you start developing empty lots. What is it about this lot? What is it the first run-in with the city of Warrenton and the county officials there? What was that like?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the same thing that's playing out across the country. We're just like a little microcosm example of it. Towns and small cities zoning were often done 30 or 40 years ago. And, you know, it's on some dusty book that in some corner somewhere, and it is not modernized. It, when we went to zoning to do this project, there are literally no lots in our town that would accommodate. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's nothing that is zoned properly. And our concept is super simple. It's 11 duplex, I'm sorry, it's 44 cottages, 22 duplexes. And it's very simple. And the fact that there is not one single lot in the town of Warrenton that would something like that would be allowed to build is, I think, a prime example of why we're in the affordable housing crisis that we are. Around the Washington, D.C. area, the counties on the perimeter are catering to, you know, people with young families that commute in and out of Washington, D.C., and they've done that for decades. So now what you have are these McMansions. 90% of our county are single family homes built two stories. You've seen, you're on the periphery of Washington, D.C. too, these McMansions that old people can't afford. They can't get around it. Even if they could, as Sean said, it's just not practical. And the fact that we can't build more diverse housing by right is a huge problem. And that's exactly what happened to us when we went to the town. They were like, there's nothing that fits this. So you're going to have to ask for a rezoning. The town staff have actually been very accommodating in helping us figure it out. The fact that they're having trouble, the fact that they kind of want this project and they can't even make it happen is just a huge example that cities and towns across the country have a lot of work to do on zoning and what's allowed to be built where.
In fact, from an article I read, it said that the grassy lot slated for the project on Church Street and Moser Road is currently zoned for medium density residential housing, but Warrenton Planning Commission said it will need to rezone it to R planned unit development before the project can begin. While I appreciate all the different rules and laws that keep us safe from somebody just, you know, building a skyscraper next to grandma's cottage, at the same time, there's no flexibility for common sense. A 3.5-4 acre lot next to a church helping people that really need help sounds like it just makes sense. But then you get into the difference between our planned unit development and medium density residential housing. I mean, they're not living, breathing documents. They're just rules salted away in a book. And if it doesn't actually look like it follows the rule that was made years ago, we go to no almost instantly. And I feel you on how frustrating that is. I too live in a suburb, you know, where I've seen a residential lot next to a storage unit business and they can't rezone the lot next to the storage unit business for commercial. They can't rezone it because they said, oh, well, in order to rezone it, you have to prove the original zoning was wrong. How come we don't let these documents live, breathe, and adapt to the new reality that we are living in?
Right. And I think what happens, Phil, is people then use these archaic, dusty pages. They pull them out and they use them when they don't want something built. And I think sometimes they use them in discriminatory fashion. The things people said about veterans early on in this fight are terrible.
All right. There's no one here who's more pro-veteran than I am. I've been a Marine for 29 years between reserves and active duty. I want you to know I am against this Heroes Bridge project as currently proposed at the Methodist Church. Veterans should be integrated into the communities they serve, not isolated into veterans' villages. I don't want small home space and increased infrastructure where there's currently green space. My wife and kids run and ride their bikes down Church Street. Has this council done a study to determine what will happen to housing values if this project goes through?
Founder of Heroes Bridge, Molly Brooks, shares more about the unfortunate resistance they're getting from local residents.
One gentleman said his wife wouldn't be able to walk down the street and be safe.
I've been informed that these residents will be bringing issues related to PTSD, depression, and substance abuse. I understand that a lot of us are dealing with a lot of issues within our lives, but these are concerns that I have with my wife that's walking through the neighborhoods with my kids.
Someone else asked us if we were going to lock them in at night. So I think they're using these antiquated zoning, you know, determinations when they want to be discriminatory or kind of keep their neighborhood a certain way. And it's unfortunate.
I was shocked to hear the feedback as far as the safety concerns that the senior veterans are going to bring to the community. When we heard the term, are we going to lock them in? I switched it and said, we might lock them in to keep them away from the community. These are vulnerable 75-year-old citizens that I deal with daily that get taken advantage of. So that part of what I, when I go to their house, I try to help them stay away from the scammers and stay away from the people that are out there, you know, prying on them. So by us having these seniors in one location, the benefits that we can provide them go up exponentially. Instead of me visiting with 3 veterans or 4 veterans in a day, I'm now able to visit with 7 or 8 veterans in a day. I'm now able to get them to quicker medical care. And the feedback that we hear from the citizens is the traffic burden. Very few of these veterans have a car to begin with, or they're not driving to begin with. That's one of the issues we have with them. The foot traffic in the area, they're in walkers and they're in canes. I've met with almost everybody on the waiting list. I would love to have them as my next door neighbor. They're kind, they're generous. They have stories to tell that are getting forgotten about. And it becomes a value. These will be valuable members to our community, not a hindrance to our community. And when I hear other veterans saying that they don't want them in our community, they need to look in the mirror, because maybe they're the ones that warranted would be better off without in our community. And that's me speaking. But when you tell me that veterans aren't welcomed, the senior veterans aren't welcomed, or they're dangerous to the community, that's not the veterans I see. I see very valuable members of our community that would make us better.
Now, I know a council member, David McGuire, also a veteran, had some really strong thoughts on that.
You know, I'm a veteran. Nobody vetted me to live in Warrington. And I'm going to tell you something. I do have PTSD, okay? I'm not violent or anything else. I'm a model citizen. Ask my neighbors. Okay? I understand the concerns about the traffic and things like that. But, you know, a lot of people don't serve, and people do. And we should honor their service. We're broad-brushing people that people are drunk or drug users or violent and things like that. It's not fair. It's not fair. That was something, I remember when I joined the Army and I'm old school and everything else, my colonel said to me, he said, the good citizens of Boston, when I came back from Vietnam, spat at me and called me baby killers. No. I understand your concerns about home value and things like that. But I've worked with Viewers Bridge. I've gone down to Lynchburg. And I've seen a model, a place like these tiny homes, as you call them. All the veterans there are vetted, okay? The other day, speaking of 9/11, I met a gentleman who was a Marine helicopter pilot. Left during the first Gulf War, flew for the FBI, flew over World Trade Center numerous times. He's got prostate cancer, okay? So what happens if he somehow takes 2 left turns and is down on his luck and needs help from an organization like Heroes Bridge? I don't understand it. I don't. Fear in a combat zone is contagious. When you start spouting fear, then people, it grows and grows. Now I'm going to tell you something. Shared sacrifice makes you a better person. It makes you look at the downtrodden, people that need our help.
Were you at the meeting, either of you? Were you able to look at these residents like and say, how can you say you're afraid that grandpa and grandma here are going to go on some sort of crime spree? Like, were you able to look at them and say, how can you say those complaints with a straight face?
So I was at the meeting, but you know how these town council meetings, you have your 3 minutes. And I did respond. I think, like Sean said, the ones that are the hardest to kind of keep your temper and respond well are the ones that are veterans. There are 2 or 3 of the most vocal opponents that are veterans themselves. So I was able to respond to that. Like, you know, I would kind of expect better from someone that served, that you would want to take care of your brothers. And then we also had several small group meetings and town hall meetings with the neighbors. And it's varied. You know, about half of the ones that oppose it are asking questions that you and I would ask, like, where's the driveway going to be? What's the lighting going to be like? They don't love it, but they're having intelligent conversations about how it can fit into this residential neighborhood. It's a residential project that we're putting into a residential area. So it's not a drastic rezoning. But the other half, there's just I think if we built it underground and they never saw a thing, they would still oppose it. I've heard the word NIMBY my whole life, and I just never expected to see it with a project like this, but they are rather pathological in their opposition to it. I've asked, just one good example is there was a lady and she was like, well, that's where I walk my dog. And I said, well, what if we put a small dog park in there and it was more beautiful and it was better? And she said, no, absolutely not. And I said, is there anything in the design, anything we could build that would change your mind? And she said, no, I just don't want it. So it's hard to reach that, you know, when you literally say, is there anything I can do? And they say, no, I just don't want them living here.
Sean, as you work with the program at Heroes Bridge and you work with the clients directly, as we listen to this NIMBY argument, the not in my backyard argument some people have, what are the people going to be receiving as part of this tiny house village built next to a Methodist church in Warrenton on this currently empty lot? Are they recovering from drugs? What are they like? Are we dealing with people here that have mental health issues or that the residents have a rightful concern about? Or is this just all blasphemy?
It's all blasphemy. You know who it is? It's your dad. It's my dad. It's where I don't live near my father. Fortunately for him, he has the means to have a nice home. But this is an area where we would want our fathers, our mothers to be able to live affordably and have the people surrounding them that are like them, that other they can they what many of our veterans are so isolated that just my visit once every 2 weeks is really the only thing they have going on. So by us bringing veterans together in a community together that can just walk and talk together, that itself is medicine that you can't get from the doctor. It is quality of life that one of the many things we do at Heroes Bridge is our goal is to bridge them to a better quality of life. There's no better way to do that than the village, where we can check on them, we can make sure they're getting the medical care they need.
My understanding from someone is that these are mostly elderly veterans who are, you know, old, blind, deaf, what have you. Well, they won't be taxing our schools, but because they're elderly, they're going to be taxing our EMS services and et cetera. So I hope that's been taken into consideration.
Now, we've already heard from Heroes Bridge, Molly Brooks and Sean Haggerty about how many of the concerns about this village are just simply incorrect, and the benefits to creating a village where low-income elderly vets can find community and companionship, and a central location to get their needs met is truly a great idea. So where are they now? And will fear keep this dream from becoming a reality?
We are in the middle of the rezoning process. So we submitted our full application to the town and they gave us 17 pages of comments, questions, requested revisions. So we are right now in the process of retailoring our application, being sensitive to the things they suggested and asked us to look at. It's been about 3 weeks because you can imagine 17 pages of comments was a lot, and we're refashioning our application. We expect to resubmit that in the next week or two, and that will kick off probably more contentious than what we had last fall, because that when we resubmit, it will trigger the process for actual public hearings. The people that have come forward are just coming forward in the past on hearsay, like I hear this is coming and maybe I should be mad about it. When we resubmit, it will trigger actual public hearings where people in opposition and support go in front of two different levels of the council to advocate for the rezoning. So it's going to get pretty heated here over the next 60 to 90 days.
Well, I'm praying you guys bring you know, a big bucket of patience and, you know, are able to get your argument heard, because it just sounds like an absolute wonderful cause. And I know that, you know, as I started this interview with, sometimes it feels like no good deed goes unpunished, right? That phrase shouldn't make sense, but yet it does. And it applies regularly, especially when it comes to zoning issues and developing something that some misinformed people fear might turn into drug addicts wandering the streets of Warrington because they escaped the village. Yeah. So frustrating. Also a challenge will be some fundraising now. We get the $1 million grant, thanks to Congress, right? So they're able to kind of bolster your efforts there because they saw the promise of what Heroes Bridge and what this Veterans Village can be. But that probably is a drop in the bucket when it comes to developing several acres with several homes. Can you elaborate a little bit more on like what needs to happen for Heroes Bridge to even bring this project through?
Sure. We need about $12 million. And we've raised $1.7 million, and that's including the allocation from the House of Representatives that we just received. Both the county and the state have contributed $250,000 a piece. So that's good. We feel like now we have these three layers of government that actually recognize this critical need for affordable housing for seniors, and in our case, senior veterans. But, you know, if we're almost to 2 million, that leaves another 10 million that we have to raise. So it's going to come from a few foundations and corporate partners that we know are waiting on the rezoning. I think people are afraid to commit until they see that we can get the rezoning. We are now pretty cognizant that we will have to finance a certain part of this project, which we were hoping to avoid, because the less we have to do that, the more affordable we can keep the rents and the cottages for the veterans. We want them to be bottom dollar. We want them to be the most affordable thing in the area, deeply affordable. So the more contributions and the more the general public chips in, even $50 here, $100 there, it just relieves that burden in the end, and we can keep the apartments super affordable.
Is there any risk that a developer could come in and be like, okay, hey, I'd like to help contribute to make this done, but in return, I want a Starbucks on the corner and I want, like, you know, to make it mixed use commercial development so I get paid back? I mean, is there any risk of that happening?
Well, there's a lot of risk because it's happened several times as we envisioned this project. There was a developer that wanted to put up like a, you know, I'll help you if you do like a 300 unit apartment complex. And that's what we tell the neighbors. I'm always like, you have no idea what we could be trying to build here. But it really has taken a lot of fortitude on my part to keep with that original vision. We wanted a super small, very meaningful project that we could serve these veterans in a very personal way. So we've rejected all of those and continue to go on faith that we will raise the money. This is being built for a reason. It's our first village, and I truly don't think it'll be our last village. There truly isn't a state or an area in the country that couldn't use one of these. So we have to make sure that this one is right without a Starbucks on the corner. You know, it really has to be our flagship village and a model that could be replicated in other areas around the country.
Yeah. And I don't know if either of you have seen, though, I reported on this years ago, but there is a Veterans Village, I believe, founded in St. Louis, Missouri, but it moved out to Colorado. And it was great. They put it right next to a subdivision. And what ended up happening was the local elementary school kids and like other people all had like connection points to this village. And there were kids that could like do some of the lawn mowing and take care of the areas. And they really developed a friendship in what would look like the classic example of not in my backyard. Don't build something for poor people next to my $500,000 houses. But they did, and it worked.
I think you'll see that. I think you'll see when this gets built, the Boy Scouts, I think youth groups would benefit from one, providing community service to their community, but learning from the generations that we don't hear from many anymore. We have a World War II veteran that lives in our community that nobody really ever gets to hear from. Amazing man. Korean War veterans that have stories that are all of us, including me, you, and the next generation would thrive from hearing these stories and just walking through the community, helping with fall cleanups. I think it will be a center of the community that will make everyone proud. They just got to give it a chance.
Outstanding. Molly, you founded something truly incredible there. Heroes Bridge sounds like it does exactly what it is named for, and that is a bridge to a better life. Molly, where do I find Heroes Bridge online? And anything else you'd like to share about the good work or the ways we can get involved with Heroes Bridge?
Thank you. It's been my greatest joy to lead this movement, and I hope it continues like it has, because we just want to reach more veterans across America. So if you know an older veteran or you are an older veteran anywhere in America, you can call 1-866-OLD-VETS for help, and we will get to know you and just start helping where we can. If you want to go on the web, it's heroesbridge.org. We should show up first on any Google search. So those are the two ways to reach us. And you'll see, if you do go online, there's a button you can push if you're interested in volunteering. And of course, supporting financially, you can donate directly to the Village Project, where your donation will only go towards the village, or you can donate to the street level work that Sean's doing right now. And hopefully that's all pretty easy to navigate on our website. And we would love, no matter how any of your listeners choose to join in, even if it's just following us on Facebook and signing up for our newsletter so they can learn more, we're just happy to have anyone engage with us in whatever way is good for them.
Outstanding. Doing God's work, the both of you. Sean Haggerty, retired Coast Guard. Molly Brooks, founder of Heroes Bridge. So good to share this story. I'll stay on this. And I love the phone number again.
It's 866-OLD-VETS.
866-OLD-VETS. If you don't think it's worthy of helping old vets now, just wait. We are all going to be one.
Indeed.
Outstanding. Really appreciate your time. Heroes Bridge, great work. Molly and Sean, keep at it, man.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you so much for your time.
I'm Navy veteran Phil Briggs, and I'll talk to you again on the next episode of CBS Eye on Veterans.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Eye on Veterans ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Why?
Why?
If you
Why?
Have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.